Bill Hendry.
Okay, hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here. It's good. It's all good. Welcome back, and final hour here of our broadcast. Nice of you to be with us. We certainly hope that you join us each and every night as we wade our way through the sewage of life.
Well, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad, but to hear you guys talk, man.
What we do.
Oh, the whole argument you guys are getting into over this, that, something else. I can't, you know, there's so much horse dung that you guys get yourselves involved in, I can't even begin to sort it out. Bud Dickman, you had something?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Phil. The Sesame Street has a character that's the dad's in jail. And on a Sesame Street, grab your ankles and drop your trousers.
Wait a minute. What do you mean, grab your ankles and drop your trousers?
He's misreading. It says, grab your hankies, you jackball.
What?
Are you reading the story about Sesame Street?
Yeah, it says, grab your ankles and grab your socks.
No, grab your hankies. To help kids coping with a parent in prison, Sesame Street.
I'll do it.
Well, then do it. Do it right.
I tried to give an editorializing opinion, and you're butchering it alive.
Well, Phil, you can't say grab your ankles and drop your pants.
Why not?
What's that got to do with the story?
Ain't it about prison?
It's a kid's story, man. It's about grab your ankles and drop your pants. It's a prison story.
Yeah, and Sesame Street is going to have a character whose dad is in prison.
Man, I think that's wrong. Why do they have that? Because there's kids who've got dads that are in prison. What are you going to do? It's a way of helping kids somehow find their way in this bloody world. You know, the more I read about crime...
Oh, Phil, please, not now. Don't start giving us your sociological view of life.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean... Oh, is that right? Well, here I am hearing from the liberal here, too.
Yes, I am a liberal. I'm a proud liberal. And my liberalism and the liberalism that I represent is a proud liberalism. Proud. And I'm not going to use the platform of this program to squat and go whenever I feel like it and go, ha, 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 ha. That's not me. That's not Margaret Gray. When I feel there's an important point to make, I will stand proudly on that platform.
Yeah, you got to step around what people did on it.
I'll step around what people did. That's not... I will proudly stand on the platform.
Didn't you just say you'd squat on it?
What I'm saying is the following thing. If there are children whose parents are in prison or in jail, then we need to acknowledge that. But we don't need another speech from a reformed conservative who now believes that the liberal way is the new way is the bold way. The new way says that we must kowtow to the conservative who's reinventing himself as the new way.
Well, thank you, Anthony Burgess.
Oh, you think I'm ripping off Clockwork Orange?
Yes, I do.
Well, I'm not.
Okay, fine.
I'm not, Phil.
Fine. Grab your hankies. To help kids coping with a parent in prison, Sesame Street created a Muppet who's fun...
I'll do it. Grab your socks... grab your hankies and pull your pants up.
There's nothing in there that says pull your pants up.
Sorry. Grab it and pull...
Does that kind of butcher your report?
Pretty much, man, because he sculpted the whole report around that.
Yeah, pretty much just going to do the whole report about pulling your pants up. What's so funny?
You are. I'll do it. Grab your hankies. To help kids coping with a parent in prison, Sesame Street created a Muppet whose father can't play with him because he's in jail. Sesame Street has always made it a part of its larger mission to address all children, not just the ones with traditional families, or easily digestible experiences. In the latest move toward that goal, the popular children's program created an online toolkit titled Little Children, Big Challenges, Incarceration, for those struggling to raise a child who has an incarcerated parent. Released in time for Father's Day in the U.S., the toolkit has its detractors, U.S. radio host and conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, who, of course, has no concern at all for children, or for that matter, adults. He's just a guy out to sell as many CDs and books as he possibly can before he croaks. He naturally went into a full-blown conspiracy theory mode, calling it a propaganda program designed to help children accept the fact that daddy is in jail by dangerously telling kids that all you have to do is talk about your feelings, draw a few pictures, write letters to your dad, and toddle off to visit him in jail every now and then, and everything will be all rainbows and lollipops. That's what Alex Jones says the show is trying to tell kids. And the editorial comment here is, better to tell him what then, if not that? I mean, we are talking about kids, and I don't begrudge a guy making a living. I mean, if Alex Jones wants to spew whatever crap, good for you, man. You're making a beautiful dollar, and I gotta hand it to you, man. You know me. Whether it's Oral Roberts, whether it's Jimmy Swaggart, I'm doing the French, Margaret.
Yes, very good, Jimmy Swaggart or Jimmy Swaggar.
Jimmy Swaggar, or Jim Baker. Or it's, what's the guy, this guy here, Alex Jones, who, no matter who the jive ass is, I don't begrudge him a living. Some of my greatest heroes are cats that are so full of crap their eyes are brown, right? But all I'm saying is, when it comes to kids and the problems we have in society now, whether it is the violence of young people, whether it's the sociopathy, whether it's the abuse of a kid turning into antisocial behavior, whatever it is, I mean, we've got to find a way to fix it. Now, you know what they're finding here? Now, get a load of this. This is a very interesting thing. This is very interesting. You're going to love this. You're not going to love it, but babies, as you probably know, babies that are not picked up and held and do not receive human touch and the human caress and basically a little bit of human love, physical love, they die. I mean, they literally die. There's a name for it. I don't remember what it is. It's not sudden death syndrome, none of that. It is an actual condition that results from not having had contact. A baby will die. Now, in Romania, prior to the fall of the dictatorship of Ceausescu, because Romania did not allow abortion, and did not allow abortion, I mean this, there were institutions in Romania, as you know, filled with unadopted children, filled with orphans. Many of those children were adopted and brought to the United States following the fall of the communist regime in Romania. You know the stories. Many of these kids were unable to cope here in the United States. A lot of them were sent back. I don't know what happened to the rest. The reason was that these kids had suffered from a significant lack of human contact. These children, we now know, grow up to become antisocial types. They can grow up to become, in the very least, these sort of internet trolls that go out and call people names, and they've got no real intrapersonal skill at all. And in the very worst, become quite a pain in the ass. They're very sociopathic. If not that, then they're just disconnected from themselves and from life. And this is a cause of crime. This is a cause of antisocial behavior. The fact that there are children that are just not even picked up and held. So when you're talking about orphans, we're talking about children that are adopted, or talking about kids that were taken from the birth parents and now they're into a new home. What happened between those two periods? What happened between the time the kid left the home of the parent that could no longer care for them and the kid got into the home of a parent that wants to adopt them and take care of them? That period in between is really significant. Because if there was no physical contact, if there was no real physical nurturing or love of any kind, that's a severely damaged kid. And let me tell you something, that is a hard one to overcome. So it is important how kids are treated. It is important how kids come to understand the world around them, and the better that we can help them understand it, the better this country's going to be. I mean, I'm just hoping, I'm looking out for the country here.
What are you talking about? Kid can't get gonna go know about a dad being in jail and everything?
Why don't you shut up, man? You don't know what you're talking about.
You shut up. What? Is your dad in jail?
Why, you lousy... Hey! Your ass, man. Your dad's in jail, bud.
No, not anymore.
Ha ha, not anymore. What a Fruit Loop.
Take it easy. So, boy, one of the more despicable things that we do in this country is get our laughs at the expense of kids, or we sell something at the expense of a kid. Here's Alex Jones saying, yeah, kid, this is all you got to do. Well, what's your answer, Alex, other than making more money, you fat ass, you thick-neck clown? Now, It's a fascinating problem that we have, and either we're going to start dealing with it seriously or not, you know. One of the things about America is that we encourage individualism. Because we encourage individualism, we encourage people to sort of focus on self and on empowering oneself and going out and getting what we need and getting what we want and being independent and being standing on our own two feet. And whether we like it or not and whether we know it or not, we're kind of encouraging a kind of a narcissism. And that is fertile ground for sociopathic people. So if you want to know why we got this crazed crime problem where guys are just opening up and killing people, or we have the solution to the problem is to just go out, pick up a gun and kill somebody, it's because, yeah, we do have a culture that is damaging to already sociopathic or antisocial people. It's not damaging to everybody, just people that are already on their way to that place.
Well, are you saying then that we must censor culture? Because that's, you're going back on everything you've ever said.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you said that you...
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Yeah, you said you did.
What a moron, man. You can't even get the word out.
I got it out. He, well...
No, you didn't get it out. You went, you...
No, Phil, you can't talk about Bud edging on into Gloyd land. You've got to address this directly.
All right, I'm addressing it directly. For people that are already sociopathic or psychopathic, people that are already damaged, yeah, culture sends a message to them, in America especially, go ahead and empower yourself and do your thing. Those people will pick up a gun and go out and kill somebody. In a society that says you have responsibility to your fellow man, and there are societies like that, especially the Far East, you have some connection to your fellow man, you can mute what a sociopath or a psychopath may do. It's all this reading I'm doing. I'm sorry, I'm reading a lot of books, you know.
That's a problem, you're reading all them books.
Well, reading books is fine, but reading some of the books that you read, buddy, I don't want to be around you when you get done reading them.
Yeah, well, you're going to be around me because I'm on the air. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Truth.
What does that mean? I'm
going to
be around you.
You
the
are.
Phil Henry Show.
I read them and I'm on the air.
Well, that doesn't mean I've got to be around you.
Now, welcome back, world-famous Phil Henry Show. One other thing in this book that I'm reading, the sociopath... Who is that?
It's David Hall.
David.
Will you get off this kick already and start getting back to the laughs? I've been driving around here for the last half hour and listening about psychopath, sociopath. Daphne is...
I don't want to hear about your girlfriend.
Well, Phil, I'm not trying to tell you... The girl has been eating, and I know she likes donuts. I understand that, but I'm trying to tell you that the message creates anxiety. She's eating, yes, donuts. She has got me going around the corner. You want to go back to Tom's? I got to go back to Winchell's. She's not even waiting for the car to come to a stop. I'm asking, will you wait for the car to stop, honey? Don't open the door. She's opening the door and trying to jump out.
And you're blaming me for that.
I'm saying that you talking about psychopaths has got her nervous. We've got to wait for the car to stop. It's got her nervous, and she's wanting me to make a run back here to Winchell's. They don't have any more of those, honey. Wait for the car to stop, for God's sake. She's got the door open, and I'm still doing 40. You've got the door?
That's not my problem, David.
I'm asking you...
You don't have any control over the editorial content of the show. Dry up, and I hope that Daphne gets her crueler.
Now wait just a minute. You can't play hard.
Okay.
Well, Phil, what's the point?
Here's the point. You know, if you want to talk about heaviosity, man, I'm laying it on you right now, okay? This is what's causing the problems in our country. You want to know the truth? I'm laying it on you. You know, let me ask you this. You know, last February, a war hero, Chris Kyle, was murdered on a gun range by an Iraq war veteran. He was shot to death. He was killed on this gun range as he was attempting to help a fellow Iraq veteran deal with his reentry into society. He was murdered, and he was murdered by way of a gun. The first thing I heard was the following thing. What was it? We have to deal with the stress that our veterans are dealing with. Nobody said anything about gun control, did they?
Well, I mean, that's soldiers and stuff.
I don't care if it's soldiers and stuff. I didn't hear anybody say, wow, we really got to limit the access of guns to these guys that are just back from Iraq. They may kill somebody. Well, the first thing we heard, and I'm telling you, it was a healthy thing. They didn't go there. They went immediately to the mental health question. And every veteran would probably agree with it. Every conservative and every gun rights guy would probably agree with it. But by God, if you apply that solution to the society in general, all of a sudden they don't like it. All of a sudden we need more cops. We don't need health care. We need cops. Why?
Well, because they're veterans and they are, I don't know. I'm just sick and tired.
No. You're not getting away with it that easy. No. Here we had a man, Chris Kyle, he was killed. I'm not saying this should be gun control. I agree with the solution. The solution is we need counseling. We need to decompress these veterans. We need to learn more about post-traumatic stress syndrome. We need to obviously know how to deal with them far more in a safer manner than Chris Kyle found himself dealing with that one guy. But nobody said anything about gun control. If that happens outside in the regular world, it's all about gun control. If you want to bring up mental health issues, oh, forget that. That's jive ass. That's Obama. Happens on a gun range to a veteran, the crime committed by a fellow veteran. Nobody says anything about gun control. It's all about mental health. Well, what the hell makes that different from what's going on in our world today? If you want to say it is, but you're not quite sure how, you know. So this is a problem, and it's about the head. Now, I'll tell you one more thing. I heard about, in reading this book, the Inuit people. And these are the people in Alaska. These are Native American people, a tribe and an ancient tribe going back thousands of years in Alaska. The Inuit people have a concept in their culture that covers sociopathic people, men especially. These are the men that don't go out on the hunt. These are the men that stayed back in the village and harassed the women. These are the men that stayed back in the village and had sex with the wives of the hunters. These are the guys that stole. These are the guys that generally sort of made their way through life by living off of, leeching off of, without any conscience, other members of the tribe. So there's a concept known to these people for thousands of years. Guess how they deal with it?
They, what, about a sociopath?
Yeah, the Inuit people. According to the psychiatric anthropologist Jane Murray, the Inuit people would force this guy to come out with them. The men would force this guy to come out with them on the hunt. And when no one was looking, because they considered these individuals to be irredeemable, they considered them to be beyond the help of the tribe or the people. These are people that figured this one out probably hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, before we were able to figure it out. They would force this guy out onto the hunt with them, and when no one was around to see, they'd push him off the edge of the ice.
To his death.
To his death.
Well, those are Indians and stuff.
Oh, really? Well, they must be real primitive people.
I think that was wrong of you to bring that up, because it undermines...
What, does it undermine your whole trip?
You're saying that they...
Death penalty. You better believe that's what I'm saying. Now, I don't know, because this is a whole different dynamic in that society. You know, these are hunter-gatherer people. Everything is very interconnected anyway. A guy like that, who has been a pain in the ass for God knows how many years, he's been having sex with the wives of the men, he's been stealing, he doesn't go on the hunt with them. They use as the catch-all solution death. Yeah, they push this guy off a cliff and they kill him. Now, has he been guilty of killing people? Maybe not.
Well, so what they're doing is they're murdering that man because he stole some buffalo meat.
Yeah, just on account of he stole a whale blubber.
What do you mean, whale blubber?
Well, how do you know what a guy done?
I'm talking about from the literature that I read by this anthropologist named Jane Murray. She said this is a guy known in the Inuit culture, the psychopath, who's a guy that steals. He has relations with the wives. He is engaging in real antisocial behavior. They just decide enough is enough. They force him to come out on the hunt. You know, you haven't been on the hunt with us for a long time. You got to come out. Every man's expected to. And this clown, he hangs back in the village, you know.
What's he doing? Hanging around and smoking cigarettes and anything like that?
I don't know. What do you mean hanging around smoking cigarettes?
Well, hanging around reading dirty magazines.
Yeah, I'm sure they got a lot of dirty magazines there in the teepee. Anyway, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You said teepee. That's racist.
It's Phil Hendry Show, so, you know, I got everybody staring at me with a bulkhead stare here.
Well, of course we're going to stare at you with a bulkhead stare, Phil.
David's on the phone, too.
David, I'm sorry I got to hang up on you, man.
Well, you know, you're hanging up on me while I got a girlfriend hanging out of the door, and she's on her way to this, into this cruller shop. Now, I wasn't saying don't talk about it. I'm just saying you're scaring her, and she is in and what she's doing is trying to jump out of the car, so I've got to take her home. I don't know what's going on.
She been drinking?
No, she's not drinking. She's been listening to you.
Oh, it's my fault that she's got the door open while you're going 40, waiting to jump out at a donut shop.
You don't have to say it like that, because she just got out again. Where are you going now? Oh, Jesus. Hold on. The what? They got taffy in here, saltwater taffy. I got to pull around the corner here and get her. You know, it's the middle of the night here, Phil.
But that's not my problem, David. Why are you telling me?
Because she's jumping out of the car now for saltwater taffy.
Yeah, and?
David, I have to go with Phil on this one. Why don't you just get control over this woman?
You don't understand. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. This woman is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. It's a miracle. I mean, how do I say it?
Okay, she's the perfect woman.
Yes.
And you know what? If you keep letting her jump out of the car to get crullers and saltwater taffy, she ain't going to be the perfect woman for long.
What's that supposed to mean?
Exactly what it sounds like it means.
Which is what?
What are you talking about?
David, if she keeps jumping out of the car for crullers, she's going to pack the fat on.
Yeah, she's going to pack the fat on. Because Henry's there talking about all that psycho stuff. I don't know what it's about.
I just don't have time to talk to you, man. I got to get going, all right?
Thanks a lot. I got a girlfriend with her big fat ass.
This guy is something beautiful, man.
But what are you doing? Talk about it.
It ain't my problem. What do you mean, what am I talking about it for?
You talk about having a saltwater, his girlfriend going out. That bad.
Are you guys trying to tell me not to talk about certain things on the air because David's girlfriend may pack a few more pounds on her ass from saltwater taffy and crullers?
In a word, yes.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen, man. I got news for yous. Ain't gonna happen. All right.
Steve Guttenberg write this?
No, Steve Guttenberg, the actor? No, it was a writer named Steve Guttenberg, not the actor. So, weird, man. 877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here anyway to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So we were watching that Robin Thicke video. That ain't bad at all, baby. Okay, how about this one? Watermelon Oreos. Yes, the latest twist on an iconic cookie. Watermelon in cookie form. The perfect summer food.
What are you looking at, man? They're just looking at you, that's all.
But don't be looking at Robert because we're talking about watermelon because you like it probably even more than he does.
No, I don't. That's impossible.
Why is that impossible?
How can I like watermelon more than a black guy can?
A lot of white people do, you dumbass.
See what he says to me? He says that I'm a dumbass all the time.
Because you are a dumbass.
Don't look at him because the word watermelon comes up, bud. We don't look at you every time the word dog-do comes up.
Yeah, right. Like I eat that for a snack.
You never know.
Yeah, well, we don't look at you.
Watch it,
okay? Because I don't need another fist fight. Watermelon in cookie form, the perfect summer food? Well, Nabisco hopes Oreo purists and non-fans alike will be taking a bag of the new limited edition fruit-flavored... What the hell? Fruit-flavored cookies to their next picnic. I don't know, maybe it's good. The watermelon Oreos, available only at Target, for $3 a package, feature a bright pink and green cream filling between two vanilla-flavored cookies. Oh. The cream bears a strong resemblance to Play-Doh.
Oh, God, these writers are atrocious. They're trying to ruin, to wreck Nabisco's one chance at a comeback.
What do you mean, a comeback?
Well, other than the Oreo, they haven't got anything going on.
Nabisco? You got to be out of your mind.
Nabisco, man, they got all the good ones.
Like what?
Nabisco has graham crackers. Nabisco has,
What about a Ritz?
No, they don't have Ritz. That's someone else.
They do have Ritz. Nabisco is Ritz. Nabisco is the graham cracker. Nabisco's got all the good ones.
Well, I don't know what you... What's your reference point?
What's my reference point? Look up Nabisco in a search engine, okay?
Really? Really? A search engine? Phil, off the top of your head, let's see what you know.
I'm telling you, I just gave you. Oreos, graham crackers, and Ritz crackers. I'll bet you money that Nabisco is the numero uno of all the cracker guys.
Yeah, when you talk about cracker... You got to be talking about Bisco.
Yeah, unless we're talking about you.
Yeah, you think you're so funny.
What do you mean, Bisco?
If you're talking cracker, man, you talk about Bud Dickman. Yeah, stutter much? God, man.
Yeah, I talk better than you. Take it easy. It's called Nabisco.
Yeah, I'd say, well, okay. But he was saying that I agree with you. I think Nabisco is the best.
Nabisco?
Phil, when are you going to get a guy as a sidekick that wasn't run through a combine first? This guy.
Yeah. In any event, food bloggers have plenty to say about the new summer flavor. We're going to get Chef Carl Cedilia on the line with us. He, as you know, works with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. He is the chef there at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And Chef Carl, knocking off for the night, is at his home. Where do you live, Chef Carl?
I'm living in West Hollywood right now, Phil.
West Hollywood. And it's great to talk with you tonight.
Oh, it's great to be with you, and I'm glad you're talking about Nabisco. One of my favorite things is the Nabisco graham cracker. You know, the Nabisco graham cracker can be used for a variety of different things.
Chef Carl, this is Margaret.
Yes, Margaret.
Now, Nabisco has, Phil, according to Phil, Nabisco is riding high. Is that your understanding?
Well, you know, I don't really know the answer to that, Margaret, but I can tell you that the Bristol graham cracker, the graham cracker alone has been responsible for so many great recipes. That's an ingredient and a main component of a lot of recipes. Where would we be without the Bristol graham cracker when it comes to Leatherback pie, you know?
What? I don't understand what you said. It sounds like you got goo in your throat.
Yeah, it does.
I'm going to tell you, I'm a little bit tired tonight.
Would you just let me talk to Chef Cedilia, okay?
Yeah, it sounds like he's sounds like he took one off the chin.
Well, I can assure you that when it comes to taking one off of the chin.
You live in West Hollywood.
You know something, Bud, I think that I know you better than that, and I know you're not a bigot.
Yeah, Bud, I don't like those comments either, okay?
And
well, let me just come right out and ask, are you gay?
And no, I'm not gay. No, I'm not. I've had girlfriends. I've been married for about 20 years. I'm just, I live in West Hollywood because it's close to Ted of Beverly Hills. And I like it here. It's got good restaurants and the bistro.
What's, are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm just thinking about a graham cracker.
Okay, Chef Carl Cedilia with us. You mentioned the graham cracker. It is a major component in a lot of really delicious desserts. And you mentioned the crust of the lemon meringue. Oh, baby. Is there anything better than that?
That is true. The lemon meringue crust made with a liberal sprinkling of the graham cracker.
Yeah, the lemon meringue. And about the spawns.
But about when you're cooking up a marshmallow.
Yeah, Bob, that's right. When you cook up a marshmallow. It's good. It's,
Well, what do you mean, cook up a marshmallow?
No, but what's that thing they call put a chocolate on it? Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about s'mores.
Oh, s'mores.
Yeah. You put a chocolate and put a marshmallow. And you put a marshmallow in the cover, and it's really, really great. So, boy, I'm salivating thinking about it here.
Oh, Chef Carl Cedilia with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Chef Carl is the main... are you the head chef there?
I'm the head chef. There's more in terms of Beverly Hills, Phil, than just the desserts. Of course, we have with delicious steaks and everything.
Well, what, have you had these Oreo cookies that taste like watermelon?
I don't. I try to stay away from anything, and I don't. I'm trying to be as delicate as I can. I don't eat any food that black people.
What? You don't like black people?
Robert, I don't. I'm sorry.
Wait. Hold on for just a minute.
What is that about?
I just don't like blacks. But everything else, I love dessert. All the food, I will serve black people, and I don't like what you people eat, and I don't like anything about you.
So you talk about you a bigot or something? You're a racist. You're a racist, huh, Chef Carl?
I'm a racist. I don't.
Well, you know, everybody's entitled to have a couple of character flaws.
Ow! Shut up, man.
Well, you know, I don't like blacks, and so I don't, the watermelon, the Oreo cookie, you know, the only reason why I have that around my house would be to make fun of, you know, black people with it.
You don't like blacks. Where are you from?
Originally, I'm from California, Southern California. I was born down in the Hemet.
In Hemet, and this not liking black people started where?
It's just the fact that I just decided I didn't like fried chicken, and I thought, ah, to hell with it. You know, I just won't like black people.
So in other words, you don't like certain foods, and you associated those with black people.
Yes, I did. Greens, watermelon, fried chicken, ribs. All of that I don't like, and then someone said, "Well, that's what black people like." I said, "Well, I don't like them either."
Well, I got to tell you, Chef Carl, you went from being a guy that I really like because you make a great meal, and you've got a great menu at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Now I don't particularly like you.
Well, I understand that, but I hope you still come in to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Do you if there's black patrons?
I don't care. That's fine. Because I'm in the kitchen, I can't see them.
All right, Chef Carl Cedilia, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
What about that?
So here's a guy that sounds like he's got a throat full of you-know-what.
Yeah, and he doesn't even like no black people.
Man, I tell you, that we ought to talk to Ted about that. Get Ted on the phone and...
Want me to call him right now?
No, we had him on earlier tonight. Let's talk to him tomorrow night about it. Maybe we'll get Chef Carl back on.
I don't want to listen to that guy, man. If he don't like black people, I don't like him. I'm not going to sit here on that.
You got to be objective about it.
Oh, shut up, bud. All you're trying to do is stir it up. Chef Carl Cedilia, he likes graham crackers, he likes this, that, but he doesn't like black people.
Yes, that is quite a shock, isn't it? Well, his desserts still kick ass.
Hey, what the hell is this anyway? You guys are still going to patronize that place?
What are you talking about? We're supposed to boycott Ted's?
Yeah, right.
Of course you should boycott Ted. You boycott Ted to Beverly Hills until he gets rid of that sumbitch.
Well, now, wait just a minute, Robert. You know that I'm liberal.
No, you're not liberal. If you go to Ted to Beverly Hills...
But my husband goes there.
Look, everybody goes to Ted's.
Well, not anymore. If you want me working around here...
Well, and I guess we're just going to have to do without you.
Shut up, bud. Maybe we'll do without you. Let's get him on tomorrow night and we'll talk to him about it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be around for that.
You've got to be here on account of you work here.
I have to agree with that, Robert. You have to, as a journalist, you have to sit and you've got to suck it up sometimes.
Well,
I agree, Robert. I remember that I had to sit through the Iraq War.
You were sitting in Italy in a Spencer Hotel.
That is a filthy lie. It's true, but it's also a lie. Yes, it's true I was in Italy during the Iraq War, but it's a lie to think... that I didn't suffer.
In a luxury hotel.
You'll never understand.
Yeah, okay, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our
bitch. You gotta
bitch.
Be here tomorrow.
The Phil Henry Show. I don't work for you.
Bill Henry Show.
I gotta tell you, that Russell Brand, man, for a buck-toothed, bug-eyed looking limey, excuse my French.
Well, that was very racist.
No, it's not racist.
Well, what do you call it, Phil? A buck-toothed, bug-eyed limey. Woo!
Yeah, that's about talk about an English person race.
No, it ain't. I'm just saying, that guy's got a pair on him, man, dumping Katy Perry by way of a text. Woo! Man, I guess life must be good, man. Not only are you a bug-eyed, buck-toothed comic from England, which ain't bad, necessarily, but you got Katy Perry throwing it all over you, and you're wiping it off like it's yesterday's egg, if you'll pardon the expression. Anyway, in the past, Katy Perry has shied away from publicly discussing her divorce from comedian Russell Brand, but in a new interview with Vogue, or what would that be in the French, Margaret?
Vogue.
Vogue. The singer reveals that their relationship and their split was hardly a teenage dream. He's a very smart man, a magical man, and I was in love with him when I married him, Perry said. However, things with Brand, who Perry said was controlling, are anything but magical these days. Let's just say I haven't heard from him since he texted me saying he was divorcing me December 31st, 2011. Wow.
Oh, my God, that's almost, that's a year and a half.
She hasn't heard from him in a year and a half. Dumped by a text message on New Year's Eve? Ouch. The pop star continued to dish on life after Brand. You know, I dumped a really beautiful woman a couple times, and then I took her back both times, and then she got me back and dumped me, but then I dumped her after she dumped me.
Well, how does that work?
I don't know, but somehow we got each other back. The pop star continued to dish on life after Brand, stating that she once caught him making fun of her during a performance post-split. He's hysterical in some ways until he started making jokes about me and he didn't know I was in the audience because I'd come to surprise him at one of his shows. So hysterical to a point. Yeah, well, you know, when the jokes are at your expense.
Oh, I see. So when he's making fun of other people, Katy, you think it's a laugh riot, but all of a sudden when he squats over you and you have to towel off, then you don't like it. And I understand. I think this is a lesson in life. When you stand there holding your side with snot coming out of your nose, while some other poor boob is getting it from your husband, being psychically and emotionally ripped right up the, you know, where the, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes. You don't have to spell it out, Margaret.
All right. So psychically and emotionally, your husband, Katy, is tearing some poor boob apart, ripping that person to shreds. And you're laughing, holding your sides, snot pouring down your nose, until he turns around, looks at you, and then remembers your bed farts. Now how do you feel, darling?
Why do you whisper that stuff?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I didn't whisper, I just don't want the whole world hearing it.
The whole world is hearing it! We're on the radio! Okay?
Don't you dare yell at me, Mr. Hendry.
I don't care, Margaret. The whole world, when you go,
bed farts. Russell Brand is making Katy Perry laugh so hard, snot and boogers.
How do you know? How do you know all of this?
I can well imagine.
All right, so let's say he is.
Yes. And then he turns around, and rightfully so, and says, oh, and by the way, Katy, darling, my lovely wife, here are a few truths about you, and suddenly it hurts. It hurts a lot. And now she doesn't want him saying these things. I think it is hypocrisy at its most degenerate. I think it is hypocrisy and a double standard at its most disgusting and degenerate and Byzantine.
What's that mean?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't, I'm not going to argue with your point. I think it's a good point that it's always fun and games until it happens to us. You know, just as the saying goes, it's fun and games until someone gets hurt. So while Perry admitted that her constant touring played a major role in the relationship's demise, she hints of a bigger underlying reason for the divorce, but declined to elaborate. I felt a lot of responsibility for it ending, but then I found out the real truth, which I can't necessarily disclose because I keep it locked in my safe for a rainy day. Uh-oh.
Think it's probably because he can't do it?
Well, it doesn't exactly sound like it's, was he cheating on her?
Well, it could be that he's cheating on her.
Well, what, that's not such a big secret. I think that's probably what people would guess.
So what are you saying? That he was stuck in neutral, or however you guys put it?
I don't know. Perry also revealed, she says she's keeping it locked in her safe for a rainy day, so it's obviously something he knows. Or maybe he doesn't.
Well, he wouldn't know. I mean, if he's stuck in neutral.
I don't know, man. I'm not going to speculate. Perry also revealed the real truth about her much-publicized on-and-off relationship with singer John Mayer, refuting claims that she only dated Mayer to get revenge on Brand. No, I was madly in love with him. I still am madly in love with him, she said. All I can say about that relationship is that he's got a beautiful mind, tortured soul. I do have to figure out why I am attracted to these broken birds. Aha! I know why you're attracted to them, because you can fix them.
Phil, don't be mocking women and their good intentions.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's why you chicks go for these guys, because you can fix them. You can fix them, and then you can look like a real brain surgeon because you made the guy. And you'll never fix the guy. What's going to happen to you, Katie? It'll happen again and again and again and again. You keep going after these broken birds because it makes you feel superior. If you go after a guy that's okay, if he's well and he's healthy, then you may be inferior to that guy. And what good are you, right? What good is any woman if she can't fix a man? I've been through this. I know. Thank you. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Where are you going?
I'm feeling salty.
Oh, get out of here, Mark. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Phil Hendry and Dan Northcraft. Join us online at philhendryshow.com for a live streaming video of the Phil Hendry Show, as well as our archives, as well as so many other marvelous things. With a backstage pass, it's all yours. All right, sports fans. Until tonight at 10, 1 o'clock Eastern, let all of that, let every bit of it, be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.